How are you doing?
Hello?
This is Jason Sims calling you. How are you? Liz, this is Jason Sims calling you. How are you doing?
Good, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah? What's going on?
Well, I'm calling you on the phone.
That's good.
And it's raining pretty heavily here.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
That sounds nice.
What is the weather like where you are?
Right now, it's clear skies, blue, sunny.
Sounds terrible.
Skies are blue, to be clear. Yeah, it's pretty much drag. I was going to say, that's the weird thing about LA is, like, you get so burned out on nice weather that you start to really crave, like, rain and gray days, and you used to wear hoodies and huddle under blankets.
So it's too much of a good thing?
A little bit, yeah.
I've never been to LA.
Really?
Really.
That's not the worst thing in the world.
Okay, I will readjust my attitude to having been in LA.
I mean, is it someplace you want to go to?
I would like to visit, perhaps. Yeah.
It's nice here. There's interesting stuff here.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm actually, like, right now I'm driving down La Brea, or driving up La Brea rather, because I'm going north, and it's like I've lived here since '99, and there's still stuff I'm surprised by. There's stuff that's new that I haven't seen before, new restaurants or shops or whatnot.
I imagine just about anything that there is, there's probably one of them there.
Well, it's like there's not a lot of chains, is the thing.
Like type of thing, maybe.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm just across the street from the world famous Pink Hot Dog.
Okay, yeah. I've seen that. I think that's in a Tom Petty video.
Probably. It's actually like, is there no line right now? Every once in a while, like, there's no line, and then it's a place to get a hot dog.
Mm-hmm.
When there is a line, it's not worth it.
So you're letting the cat out of the bag on the Pink's hot dogs.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like anyone from Los Angeles, like, it's a fine place to get a hot dog, but it's not, like, the best thing in the world. And it's seriously, like, people will wait, like, an hour and a half in that line just to hot dog that was a fancy hot dog.
Just to be clear, hot dogs are available for sale in other places in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
There's not sort of any kind of hot dog embargo.
Yeah. The Pink's does not have the exclusive on hot dogs. There are many other fine places to get a hot dog. But, you know, Pink's does have a reputation.
So you said you'd been in L.A. since 99. Where were you before that?
I grew up north near San Jose.
Okay.
Until I was 7, we lived in Texas, which is, you know, so I apologize, by the way, if I start speaking at all of a slight accent, it's not because I'm, like, making fun of you or anything. It's just, I have, like, a little bit of...
Wait, do I have an accent? I hadn't noticed.
But no, the thing is, like, I grew up, because I was in Texas until I was, like, 7 years old, I had a slight latent accent that's either activated by talking with people from the South or when I go to South by each year, I usually, if I have much contact with the locals, it'll pick up again.
The gravity of the accent.
Yeah. It just absorbs you. I love the accent, but I think it's just some rich and lush.
Now, what part of Texas did you live in? Because Texas is, from what I understand, a very different place depending on where you are.
Oh, definitely. We were in Plano until I was about 3. And
now,
then,
is that South Texas?
Plano's near Dallas.
Okay.
So, slightly outside Dallas, and then we moved to Austin for another couple of years.
Okay.
After that.
I have a friend that lives outside of Austin.
Oh, yeah.
And I have friends in Austin, actually, now that I think about it.
Austin's great. Wish I would go there. I wish I would go there, when South by isn't happening, just I could properly enjoy Austin.
Right.
But, I'm flying out there on Saturday. I'm pretty excited. Just because it is such a cool place to see.
I'm sure the version of Austin you get during South by Southwest is a mutant version.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not actually, like, talking with anyone from Austin for the most part. It's
right.
Usually, it's a lot of, great, a lot of cool people, but it's a lot of cool people that, it's all people coming in for it. It's the same way you can't really say you've been to San Diego if you've only gone during Comic-Con.
Right. So you, I tried not to, I mean, I got your email, you gave me a pretty, fairly detailed description, because I get everything from, a couple paragraphs to nothing from people when they send me their information, and I'm good with whatever I get, and they actually had sent me a link to a website, and I went and I glanced at it, but I purposely tried not to learn too much about you, so we'd have something to discover, in the conversation, but... From your email, I remember you write. You get paid money to write, which is unusual for writers.
It is. It's very. It's one of those things that it's still really weird for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like because I first grew up saying I want to be a writer, and now I have to. And I think it was the first time it really sunk in for me was when I was doing my income taxes in 2008. I think that was it. That was in 2007 or 2008. And I was like looking, they ask you what your occupation is. And I was like, I guess I have to say writer here. And
did they stop you and then ask you, okay, now where are you waiting tables though?
Unfortunately, I didn't have to do it because I had a, I've got my W-2s and whatnot. I mean, the thing is, my first real steady writing job was writing about online video for a couple of different websites, and so that didn't really feel like being a full on writer.
Mm-hmm.
That felt like going and it's like. If you're writing a paragraph about a viral video, that doesn't necessarily feel like you're not Hemingway.
Mm-hmm.
I
think Hemingway would have written if there had been viral videos. He would have written very tersely about them, but he would have written about them if there had been any.
That would be a fun writing challenge for me one day. Is write about a viral video in the style of Ernest Hemingway.
It would be really funny to do a pop culture blog. As written by Ernest Hemingway.
Yeah, I feel like you see people write little snippets here and there, but to really dedicate yourself to what would Hemingway think of this. I think it's one of those things where it wasn't like I was waiting tables one day and then the next day somebody walked in and I was like, you're hired. It was. Wow, I'm really sorry about that Donald Trump impression I just did. I didn't even do that consciously. It just happened. It's like anything where you get one job and then you get another job and that job is slightly better than the last job. And then from there you just kind of keep on going and then at some point you kind of wake up and like, oh wow, I've been a professional writer for several years now.
Yeah.
A lot of it... the big thing is that I used to write, I still write for the web, but I finally, I have a job now writing for a television show, and it's kind of a lower-tier television show on a lower-tier, it's like on a very extended cable network, so, and a lot of people haven't heard of it, but it's still like writing for television as opposed to writing for the internet, and, Unless I screw things up very badly, eventually one day I will get another job on another show. And ideally, that's the way it'll work. I'll just keep on doing what I'm doing and just, more and more of it and hopefully better. Not better shows, because I like the show I work on. I mean, I will be writing better stuff.
Now, a lot of people fancy themselves writers, and call themselves writers. Is it a very different thing? Is it a very different kind of pressure when that's your occupation as opposed to something you kind of do when you want to or do, you know, when you get inspired?
Well, I think like the difference between being a professional, you know, being a writer who just loves to write and being a professional writer is really the professional part. And, you know, there are still things I'm not great at, and there's still things I'm working hard to learn. And a lot of it's just like, you know, learning how to handle rewrites and learning, you know, how to understand what somebody wants and, you know, adjust accordingly. Like you have to, it's like any job really. Like you get your performance gets evaluated. And a lot of times, like you can be passionate about stuff and you can be, you can be passionate. You can have a lot of excitement for the job. But at the same time, like you have to sometimes you have to check your ego at the door. Sometimes you have to basically say, okay, you know, I thought this was great, but the person I'm writing for, like,
you're starting to break up just a little bit.
Okay.
Hold on, you're starting to break up a lot.
Okay.
We'll get it just a second and see if you.
Can you hear me?
I'm hearing a 3 out of 4 syllables.
Okay.
Do you want me to try to call you back and see if I can, maybe you get a little better signal?
Yeah. Why don't you call me back in like 1 minute?
In like what?
In 1 minute.
1 minute.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll call you back in 1 minute.
That's great.
All right. Bye.
Hello.
Hello. Much better.
All right. Yes, I figured I was closer to the Hollywood Hills than I should be. So I have a better answer for the professional writer thing.
Excellent.
Because I feel like I was getting a little off track.
That's fine.
I think the big thing, there's a difference between like being a professional writer and just being someone who writes for fun is that it does become your job and you're learning how, it's a lot of, in like any job, there's compromise, there's stuff you don't want to do necessarily, but you have to deal with it anyway. And fortunately, like, the more you do it, the better you get at it, and there's stuff I used to have to struggle to, turn out that became much easier for me after a while. And just, like, but, like, you know, the basic, you know, it's also, like, there are certain things, like, you know, it looks really unprofessional if you have typos in anything you write. Mm-hmm. So you have to double check everything, like making sure your copy is clean and clean and articulate and true to your voice or the voice of whatever you're writing for. Like there are a lot of considerations that come with writing becoming your job versus writing your novel in the hours before you go to work.
And I guess if it's something you're doing every day, and you're doing it on a deadline, I guess one of the good things is you get so many shots at it. Like we're gonna do it again tomorrow, we're gonna do it again next week, or whatever your writing cycle is.
Yeah, and that's a big part of it too. Is like I think what's a big factor in that, what becomes a big factor in that is just you can't beat yourself up for screwing something up.
Mm-hmm.
Like. You're never going to be you're not going to be perfect 100% of the time. There are going to be days when you write a joke and that joke's going to be great. And then there's going to be the next day you could write like the worst joke of your entire life. And the key is just, you have to be able to shrug it off. You have to be able to just focus on doing something great every day as best you can. But yeah, you definitely, on the one hand, like, every day is a new chance to try it again. On the other hand, like, you have to be prepared for the possibility that you could not do great
mm-hmm.
someday. And you can't let that, freak you out. Like, being, like, if you're a baseball pitcher, you pitch baseball for the sports team. Some days you're going to have an off game. Some days mm-hmm. you're going to have a great game. And he is making sure you show up every day.
How big is the staff that you're on?
I write with, for the show I'm on, I write with a team of three other writers. We might be expanding to, we might get more soon, who knows?
Oh, can I send my packet? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I have, and I have no control over any of that.
Oh, you know, okay, I'm gonna have to say goodbye now. Dude, this is actually just a thinly veiled attempt to weasel my way into television writing. No, it's actually
very good, very fun.
That's how you get in, right? You do a podcast and you badger people on your podcast to get you into the business.
I think so.
Yeah,
I think it worked for Mark Maron.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm sorry.
So that's for my day job, and then I write. Sometimes I'm collaborating with other people. I have a writing partner that I work on TV specs with, and I have my own personal blog project which I write by myself, and sometimes I do theater work.
Do you sleep sometimes? Do you ever sleep?
Yeah.
You sound really busy.
I keep busy. It helps to have, sometimes it's a lot of nights and weekends, but it's all stuff, the stuff that costs me sleep is the stuff I enjoy doing.
Right.
So that's not too much hardship.
So you told me in the email that you're about to have your first play.
Yeah, I'm driving right now from LA, from central LA to the Valley, for a rehearsal.
Oh wow.
Yeah. We go up in 16 days, which I know because we open the day after the Hunger Games premieres, and there are a bunch of billboards around LA that. They're the electronic kind.
Uh-huh.
So they're updating every day with only 15 more days until the Hunger Games, and I'm like, that's great, because I am looking forward to the Hunger Games, but I'm also looking forward to the play going up, so I have a regular reminder of that.
Yeah. So what kind of production is it?
It's a small theater company. I don't think the theater is technically a black box theater, but black box refers to it's not like if you go to a big ballet production, there are wings that you can enter and exit off both sides of the stage or all that. A black box theater is much more minimalist and much smaller. I think our show is in a 50 seater. So.
Okay.
Maybe slightly smaller than that. It's a romantic comedy I wrote. I started writing back in 2006.
Oh wow.
It's something I've been developing for a really long time with a couple of different people here and there. And this theater company is the Sky Palace Theater in North Hollywood. If anyone looks that up.
What was it again?
Sky Pilot Theater.
Sky Pilot?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they are being very cool about putting it up. So that's been a big focus for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Because I think officially tonight is, I don't think I'll have anything, but tonight is the last night that the director won't let me make any big script changes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that during the next rehearsal, the actors have to be off book. So I can't give them any changes because they have to memorize the things that have already changed.
Right. And you're still involved. Apparently you're going to the rehearsal and you're still where you can make some changes. So it's kind of nice to, because a lot of times when you write something, I guess you're just kind of not involved with it after you turn it in.
Sometimes. The show I work on is pretty collaborative, and so I get to do stuff there. And theater, it varies wildly depending on the playwright. I personally the reason I started doing theater is because I felt like it would be a good experience for me to work directly with actors. And when you're basically sitting alone just writing screenplays and in your apartment, you get to control that little world, but it gives you, it doesn't give you any experience in terms of like what an actor needs on the page in order to do their job, and what a director needs on the page. As soon as I started doing theater on the side, my writing in general just improved dramatically, because there's nothing like having an actor like turn to you and say like, why am I saying this? And if you don't have a good answer for that question, like if you don't have a good reason for why their character has this line of dialogue, then that line of dialogue probably shouldn't be there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it makes you focus on not just like coming out with clever things to say, but like this is gonna sound terribly cheesy, and I'm sorry, but like the truth of it, like the truth of a scene or a moment or a character. That's what doing theater taught me. And I'm not saying I'm great at it, but I really valued having this experience.
Another thing I was thinking about when you were saying that is sometimes when you're working on something by yourself, it's like a closed loop.
Mm-hmm.
And I can imagine seeing living, breathing people kind of moving through, having them kind of move through the material and getting to watch them do that. I can see how that would really sort of inject some energy and certainly a different perspective into your work.
And it becomes like, and especially like if you get to like, with this company of actors, I've been working with them for a while, and every once in a while I get a chance to write something new for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really like great to be able to just say, I can write this for Jude, and Jude will totally nail it. Mm-hmm. And, like knowing what a person can do with a piece of material and being able to tailor it for them is really great as a writing experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes a difference if you know who you're writing to or writing for. And a little bit of writing I've done that involved other people, that's been true.
So what do you do?
Well, what I do for a living.
I know that the answers are always, usually everyone has two different answers to that.
Yes. What I do for a living is I do accounts payable for a company that sells appliance parts.
Okay.
Just like I always dreamed.
Now, do you get to use spreadsheets, though?
What's that now?
Do you get to use spreadsheets, though?
I do on occasion.
Because I'm a big spreadsheet fan. I like ordering putting numbers in order and all that.
Well, I have become more of a fan of spreadsheets because I do accounts payable, so sometimes I'll have large lists of invoices that have to be sorted and spread. No, there ain't nothing for that like a spreadsheet. I mean, it's so I've come to appreciate the spreadsheet, and I never dreamed that we would end up talking about spreadsheets. This is one of the wonderful things about this project is if you had asked, you picked up the phone, if you had asked me, do you think we'll get the spreadsheets? I would never have guessed that we would have.
I could have probably told you because I love spreadsheets a lot.
But when I'm not sitting in a little room writing checks, slowly losing my mind, I mess around with this kind of stuff. A little bit of podcasting, but until recently I was doing improv as well. But
that's fun.
A friend of mine and I were working on some video projects and animation projects and stuff right now. So that's what I do.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I've been taking an improv class recently, and it's been really fun. It's funny, like, I don't know if I'd ever want to be, like, an improv, like, professional.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, the problem with improv in LA is that if you take an improv class, like, at one of the big schools,
mm-hmm.
And everyone in there is, like, very much, like, a hard, an aspiring actor, and they're all very, like, intense about it. They all just want to be as funny as humanly possible, just, at the expense of anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, like, I don't want to be, like, you know, it's like, it, the way I've compared it to is like, I like to play football, but I don't want to play for the NFL,
right.
NHL, in the NFL. The NFL is the league where the sports teams play. but I don't want to play for the NFL. I want to play like a pickup game.
Right.
In somebody's backyard. And that's kind of, improv. I like improv a lot though.
Well, see, it's a different environment doing it here because everybody that I was in troop with, even though we were technically a professional troop, you know, we got paid and did shows and things like that. It's just here in Huntsville, Alabama, most of the people that were in the troop, they all had other jobs. Only a few of us had any kind of theater training or any kind of acting training, and then even fewer of us had any aspirations to go on and do that. I mean, most people, we're pretty well ensconced, you know, in a career.
Yeah.
So it's a very different environment. It's actually one of the most pleasant theater experiences I've ever had because it's a really different atmosphere in that troupe than I've had in a lot of theater experiences. So.
How did you all get together?
The improv troupe?
Yeah.
A gentleman actually formed it. He had been in a troupe down in Birmingham. And then he had to move north up here. He was actually living in a place called Decatur, which is close to Huntsville, for a job. And he put together a troupe up here. So that
it's
was
like people he knew, or like internet.
In the beginning, maybe it was he was in theater, involved in theater, so it's people that he knew through theater. And then I think the troupe is. I've got to ask somebody that's smarter than me something. Asking my wife because she remembers this. Oh, and now someone's knocking at the door. And my dog is flipping out. Let's see who it is. I bet it's one of our children.
Cool.
It's one of our children. Hi, son.
Hey.
Hey. Liz from Los Angeles says hi, son.
Hello.
He says, hi. So, honey, how long was Face to Face together?
How long was Face to Face?
Yeah, 11 years, maybe.
Oh, wow.
Maybe nine or 10. Yeah, around 10 years, you know. So to keep any theater group together in this area, in a market this size, is an accomplishment. I mean, so the gentleman's name is Gene, He's really accomplished something by doing that. I only know of, like, three improv troupes in the entire state. So there's not a big call for it, but they plugged along.
But did you guys, like, when you guys formed, you said that you guys had like some professional gigs.
I didn't join the troupe until maybe a couple of years ago, but yeah, they've done corporate gigs. I mean, they have a regular show downtown at a coffee shop, pizza place type venue, and then they have shows at a couple of theater type venues once a month.
That's great.
So I mean, yeah, and again, to have something like that in this area, you know, that's a feat.
Yeah, is there like a, you know, where do people go like they want to hear live music?
There's a place downtown where sort of like middle tier acts will kind of like rock bands, top 40 rock bands who are kind of on the way, either on the way down or on the way up, you know. They'll go there, and then there's another place around the corner from that has a little more eclectic kind of acts, and then there, you know, local bands that play places, and then of course there's a civic center where like a big, you know, bigger act would come. But then there's a arts collective, a place called the Low Mill, and they have a lot more sort of underground music and a variety of music there. It's probably like anywhere. I mean, there's a lot more music than there is comedy or things like that. You know, there's actually quite a bit of traditional theater here. There are two or three theater companies. Yeah, like. Especially like children's theater, musical theater, stuff like that, but it's very traditional. You know, so anyway, what we were doing is very much off that off that path. It's been very interesting talking to you, Liz, and I hope your play does awesome.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, at this point it's kind of out of my hands.
Yeah.
But I feel like I've got working with a great group of people, and so I hope I have a good. I'm optimistic about how it's going to go for right now.
I hope y'all break all the legs in Los Angeles.
Thank you. I shall do so personally with a crowbar, probably.
Okay, if that happens, I don't know you. This
you
is...
know nothing.
Right.
Yeah, and thank you very much for letting me be on your show.
Oh, thank you so much for letting me call you. And yeah. Hopefully this has been pleasant.
It's been a wonderful time. Thank you so much. Feel free to edit out anything that where I sound silly or whatnot.
I usually would just edit things for flow. I will try to treat you, edit you the way I would want to be edited.
Great. Well, I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you so much, and you have a delightful evening.
You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.